So we have Emma and Jess talking about what they learned about the Creative Freedom Summit. So give a hand for them.
Hi everybody and welcome to our talk. We're very excited to be here at FOSTEM. It's both of our first times here, so very excited and nervous. Had a great time yesterday. So today we're just going to go through a summit that we hosted 2 weeks ago. We're going to explain what it is for people who weren't aware of it, and then we're also going to see what went well and what could be improved. So just a small introduction first then. So my name's Emma Kidney. I'm an associate software engineer at Red Hat in their community platform engineering team. Kind of the last year or so, I've kind of been more doing design work, kind of slowly doing more design work, less dev work. I'm part of the Fedora design team, and yeah, I utilize Floss in every aspect of my work. And an active member of the Fedora community. So I'll just pass you over to Jess then.
So I'm Jess, and So I joined the Red Hat team in 2022 as a Fedora community designer intern for the community platform engineering group, and advocate of all open source software, Inkscape, Penpot, of course, and just loads of other ones, and creation numerous logos for the Fedora project as well that you might have seen around. So
including this one as well.
So a little bit of the Creative Freedom Summit. It was a summit that we held, was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so it was all over like Jitsi and PeerTube, and it's just, again, promoting loads of creative software that people might know about. What is the Creative Freedom Summit? So it's a virtual event focused on promoting open source tools, spreading knowledge of how to use them, and connecting creatives across the FOSS ecosystem. So the summit's accomplishments and shortcomings will be examined in light of the first year. So the primary goals for this were, of course, promote open source creative software, and also spreading knowledge of how to use it. So it's very important, like there's so many free software that people don't know about, and it's great to give them that recognition. And also connecting creatives across the FOSS ecosystem, so other people who use these open source software can connect with each other and share ideas and all that sort of stuff. And then our secondary goals were so to promote the Fedora design team as well as a welcoming group. So, If you don't have a platform to show off like what you've done in open source software, you can always join the Fedora design team. We also create a potential onboarding path for new design contributors as well, and spread info on how to use the creative open source tools in communities. So again, same as the last one. So showing how the Fedora design team wields tools to make communities stuff happen. And have sessions like have the Fedora design team do this, that, and the other, and hoping make sense for easier for people to get involved. So what topics did we cover? So again, Penpot. So if you don't know what it is, if you missed the first talk, it's a web-based design and prototyping platform. Inkscape as well, which I love. And Powerful, it's a vector-based graphics editor. Blender, Krita, and Kden Live, I assume you might have went to the KDE stand that was around. And GIMP, and also accessibility as well, which is very important in the design aspect of things, like color blindness palettes and stuff like that. And then the free software was actually... It's like free patterns for different crafts, so more kind of a hands-on design thing rather than technical. And creative professional using open source software. So we had some people as well who, and of course us as well, like using free open source in a professional aspect, and many others. So we had an amazing lineup of speakers. So Maureen Duffy and David Ravoy, to name a few. And we had social hours that include the audience and help build a sense of community. So some of these include a Hack and Craft, which is kind of like the free software. It's by the same person. Morgan Lemmer Weber.
Yeah.
And so we were basically, like, for the Hack and Craft, we were all like knitting and making sewing things, but also talking about open source and Pictionary and Gartic Phone. So it was really fun. And then, of course, wouldn't be possible without our sponsors. So Fedora and Red Hat were the main sponsors. And then the platforms we used to share was we used Element, so like people could interact in the chat. Jitsi was for the live streaming part. Oh, sorry. Jitsi was the video part. So we all went into a call, and then PeerTube was the live streaming part of it. So yeah, I'm going to hand you over to Emma for the retrospective.
Nice. Okay. The retrospective. So just some details then as well. So when it took place, as Jess said, around 2-ish weeks ago, January 17th to the 19th. What platform? We used Jitsi, streamed with PeerTube, and then Element and Matrix were used for the audience to interact with each other and the speakers. What if you didn't make it? The recordings are available on the Create Freedom Summit's PeerTube, and will soon be uploaded to the Fedora YouTube when editing is complete. We have some great contributors at the minute converting the raw video files over into properly cut and published talks. And was there a badge? The important question when an event is run by Fedora. Yes, there was a badge. It was designed by Jess again and was able to be claimed by anyone with Fedora badges account, and it was claimed around 46 or 48 times, I believe. And also, if you're wondering why we had a badge, the summit was all about promoting open source design, and then obviously as the Fedora design team, there can be a lot of overlap then between the two communities. Here's just an example of what the setup looked like if you were to attend the summit. So at the top there, you have a little widget for the live stream. We have another little kind of notepad feature there where you can type out any questions you might have, some information, kind of frequently asked questions, and then we have the chat there then, so people can interact with each other.
Also the background channel for the talk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because if you wanted to just watch the talk and not be involved in the chat room, you could just watch directly with the PeerTube link as well. How did the event go? It went very well. We had 18 speakers take part with an average of 50 viewers per session, which is very good for our first time round. We had more than 700 unique viewers spread out across 54 different countries. And in the Element chat room, we came up to around 250 members. So we were kind of aiming for 100 in the Element chat room, but so the fact we kind of doubled that, great. So what went well? Viewers loved the setup we had. They were able to watch videos soon after they were live as well, due to the system that we were using. And the chat room was very friendly, and there was a real strong sense of community there. And the audience had a lot of back and forth with the speakers as well. There was a lot of interactions at the social event and a lot of interest. Also, no code of conduct issues, which is always nice. So we got to see some amazing work. So we had, like, say, some speed painting sessions there with grease pencil and blender. It's been painting with Krita, an Inkscape tutorial. There's a software, Blender as well. There was a good few things about Blender. Yeah, so what can we improve for next year? So what didn't work? We're going to try and create a guide for next year with guidance on how to use the platform, because from a newbie perspective, if you're not familiar with Matrix, Element, all that kind of thing, it can be a bit foreign, a bit hard to get into. We also need to look into auto captions then as well, because since we use Jitsi and PeerTube, we did not have live captions during the summit. We were able to add them in post-production, but it would have been nice to have it while the event was happening. So we're going to look into some open source tools that can be used alongside Jitsi. Hopefully we can stick with that arrangement, and then if not, maybe look into some alternatives. Yeah, so what's next then? So call for proposals. So depending on speaker capacity and interest, we'll probably do a call for proposals around 2 to 3 months prior to the event. There was a lot of interest in the audience to get involved themselves, present their own talks and share their knowledge. We want to keep group and interaction growing throughout the year. This can bring more people into the community, maintain their interest, so maybe have socials, art challenges, kind of little mini events. Spread the word, so participate in talks like this one, kind of get involved in more of the open source design forums, all the different communities. And planning is a major part, so we're going to give ourselves some more time to implement, you know, improvements, trial some things out, and then if any errors come up. So yeah, I'm going to pass you over to Jess then, just in case you're interested in participating in Fedora.
So, a little bit of a segue, I suppose, since we're all, it's very heavily supported by the Fedora design team, so if you would like to be interested in the next one, so if you would like to, there's a Fedora account that you can create. You can create it at accounts.fedoraproject.org, and you can use it to sign into the Element as well. And it's very kind of, it's like the main account to use, especially with a summit like this. So if you want to learn more about Fedora, it's all on the Fedora docs. And also if you do join.fedoraproject.org, it gives you all the links that you can use as well. Shows our missions, our foundations, all the user documentation, and you can look us up and ping us if you need anything. And then also, yeah, you can hang out with us. So in the Element chat, we have a Fedora design Element chat, and people share what they've been contributing, and if anyone needs feedback from like the more senior people or like just in general, it's a really good place to be. Fedora marketing as well, and there's many more channels as well. Even if you're not really interested in design, there's infrastructure, there's many more, there's loads. So, and yeah, where to find us? So the Matrix channel there, Creative Freedom fedora.im, and then our website is thecreativefreedomsummit.com, where you can get all the information. And we have, like, when we were playing it as well, we had all of our, we had a live like schedule going on. You can click on it and it brings you to the streams. And then again, the Fedora Design Team Matrix channel is there. And then that's us. So if you have any questions, so.
We're planning on making a kind of like an annual event. So it'll hopefully happen in around January next year as well. So feel free to enter the Matrix channel, ping myself or Jess. We'd be more than happy to point you in the right direction if you're not sure on how to use Matrix or Element, anything like that. So yeah, I think that's our talk. Yeah. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions?
No?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, because I suppose it's making open source design tools kind of more accessible. So we'd like to kind of keep it a virtual event, I think, for the foreseeable future. Maybe there might be some mini events, things like that. We haven't really discussed it, but we do like the online aspect that, you know, anyone can join. So it is, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose, just making it more accessible for people.
Does anyone else have any questions? Yeah.
What would you like to see more of at the next one?
So I'll just repeat the question. So we were just asked, what would we like to see more of in the next summit? So I suppose just getting the numbers up. But, you know, like it's good to see, you know, just make it more. Well, it is approachable, I suppose, but I don't know. It's a tough question.
I'd like to see more of like the craft inside a thing and the open source design aspect, because I thought that was really interesting when Morgan came in and was talking about having, you know, open source design, say, of like sewing patterns, things like that, making clothing more accessible to people. It was kind of an aspect of design I didn't really think of, even though I'm into like crocheting and knitting and stuff myself. So it was mad just to kind of see like a hobby and like work kind of come together then. So I thought that was quite interesting. Yeah, I'd like to see more of that.
Anyone else?
No? Okay, yeah, we also have a stand down in Building H as well. So we'll probably be there after this. Thank you.